God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be multiplied among you, my dear friends and fellow Christians. Last week, we heard about a foolish farmer who hired a ridiculously reckless sower who scattered the farmer's precious seeds with wild abandon where no sensible farmer would ever plant, even in us. Today we meet a farmer who refuses to weed his field, a gardener who would make even those with green thumbs, without green thumbs, furious. It's a pretty easy parable to understand. A man plants a field full of wheat, but in the middle of the night, while everybody's sleeping, an enemy hops the fence and with a bag of weed seed sows seeds of weeds in that same field. In time, the farmhands discover the weeds and assume at first that their employer had gotten a good deal on a pretty bad bag of seed. But after finding out that it wasn't the fault of their employer, and that an enemy had done this, the farmhands, wanting to prove their worth, offer to go into the field and rip out all of the weeds. But no, the farmer says, no. Let them both grow together until the harvest. Then we'll separate wheat from weeds. Do it now, and we'll damage the good crop, which is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So far our text. In this parable, Jesus answers two rather poignant questions. First, why are there bad people in the world? And second, why doesn't God just do something about it? The first is rather simple to answer, at least somewhat. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And why are they in the field of this beautiful world? Not because God planted bad seeds here, but rather because Satan is also working in this blessed field of our Father, sneaking around under the cover of darkness, working against God and His people, working to plant and grow those who do not fear, love, and trust in the one true God above all things. The enemy did this. The enemy who loves not God and loves you neither. The enemy who will do whatever it takes, stoop to the lowest his slithering belly can squirm to pollute the field with his weeds at whatever cost. And know this well, Satan is deadly serious about this. But that's the easier question to answer. Why are there evil people in this world? The second question is harder. Why does God just leave them here? No decent gardener would leave weeds and flowers to grow side by side. No farmer worth his salt would concern himself with an infestation of serious chickweed amongst the wheat. So why is it that God leaves these weeds to grow in the field of his world? I mean, wouldn't the world be a better place without the likes of all the bad guys? The big, bad, notorious sinners who don't care a lick about anyone but themselves? You know, liars, robbers, cheats, swindlers, murderers, rapists, gangsters, terrorists, dictators, child molesters, hijackers, and members of the opposite political party, just to name a few. After all, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who they are. Maybe a rocket scientist to target them with smart bombs, but not a rocket scientist to figure out who they are. And God's got to be smarter than a rocket scientist. And more accurate than a smart bomb, too. Well, Jesus gives us an answer, but it may not be the answer we're looking for. Don't pull up the weeds, lest you harm the wheat as well. And the point? God wants not even one little piece of his harvest lost. And if that means he lets weeds grow among the wheat, then so be it. Why? Well, Jesus' words give us a hint. The word Jesus uses for weeds isn't just any kind of weed, but darnel. Darnel isn't one of your kids' surfing buddies. Darnel is a weed that looks just like wheat. And for most of its life, you can't tell the difference between weeds, the weed, and the wheat. The enemy knows what he's doing. He doesn't sow weeds that you can easily tell apart from the wheat. No unmistakable dandelions with their big, broad green leaves and their pretty yellow flowers. Those you can identify, those you can pull. No, he plants weeds that look just like wheat. Weeds that act like wheat. Weeds that are hard to tell apart from wheat. He uses deception to do his damage. And what's that mean? It means that we can't always tell the difference between the sons of God and the spawn of the enemy. It means that when the devil wants to lead you astray, he's not going to show up at your door with a sign hanging around his neck that says, "Devil." His weeds aren't always going to be liars, robbers, cheats, swindlers, murderers, rapists, gangsters, terrorists, dictators, child molesters, hijackers, and members of the opposite political party, just to name a few. No. The father of lies and the planter of weeds loves the art of deception. He fakes you out. He tricks bright, perceptive, intelligent you. And the brighter, the more perceptive, the more intelligent you think you are, the easier you are to trick. He uses those who look harmless, helpful, in fact, good, right, and salutary. He uses those who look like good guys, those whom you'd swear on a stack of Bibles, though you shouldn't. Those whom you'd swear are wholesome, whole grain wheat to spread his false doctrine, his allurements to sin, his doubts about God and his gracious saving will. You're ready for false doctrine to dribble from the mouth of the cultist at your door. You're not prepared at all when it comes from the pen of a revered theologian or the mouth of a popular preacher. And so who should get pulled and who should be left to grow? It's not always that easy to tell. Would you have pulled up the thief on the cross 2 days before Calvary? Would you have plucked from the ground the slave trader captain, John Newton? And it works the other way as well. And now the parable gets personal. Personal because up to this point, I still think we could pull out our dandelion diggers and do a pretty decent job of weeding like the servants of the master wanted to do in the parable. And were forbidden. Not only do the weeds in the field look like wheat, but the wheat looks like weed too. When your mom asked you to go out in the yard and pull weeds, you'd ask her, "What do they look like? Is this a weed?" Ask the Word of God, "What's a weed look like?" And the Word responds, "Weeds are those who act as if God doesn't matter and as if I matter most. Weeds are those who refuse to call upon God's name, pray, praise, and give thanks. Weeds are those who despise an invitation to receive God's gifts on the Lord's day. Weeds are those who loathe authority over them, even politicians. Weeds are those who kill, even if just with a tongue. Weeds are those who sneak off to smut wherever it may be found. Weeds are those who steal, defame, and are never ever satisfied. And so now, what would happen to you?" It isn't as simple as identifying people as either weeds or wheat, because each of us are semel at the same time, saint and sinner, wheat and weeds. Evil is so much a part of our lives and sin so deeply ingrained that to eliminate sin and evil would mean pulling ourselves up as well. We too would be cut down and thrown into the fire, for you can't pull up sinners without also uprooting yourself. But all of this isn't really the point of the parable, because so far we've been focusing on weeds. We've mentioned wheat, but our focus has been on the weeds, why they're here and what can be done about them. Well, we're in good company doing this. The disciples did the same. They asked Jesus to explain to them the parable of the weeds in the field. That's what sticks in our ears. But what happens when we focus on weeds? When we fix our attention on the sin and the evil that's all around us in this world, we begin to doubt God and His gracious goodness. We begin to ask why and question God's mercy and the wisdom of His grace-filled ways. And then Christ gets left out of the parable. This parable's not about weeds at all. It's about the farmer and his wheat. Weeds are just a reality in a fallen world. But it's the wheat that the farmer's focused on. And it's the wheat that God's focused on too. And because He wants the best for His wheat, because it is His will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, because He wants not even one little piece of His harvest lost, including thieves on crosses and authors of hymns like Amazing Grace, God allows both weeds and wheat to grow together for a time. That's what happens in the dirt of this great field. Weeds and wheat grow together. Disconcerting to say the least. But at the end we hear that not even the weeds and their damnable sower are able to choke off the Lord's harvest. Not in the field of the world, not in the field of right here. The enemy has failed. Not Christ, for Christ is the Lord of the harvest. And so, our focus, the focus of the church in the world, is not to be on this big, bad world that needs to be weeded and weeded now. The focus of the church is not to eliminate sin from the world, not that I'm in favor of sin, but that's something that we just can't do. Rather, our focus is to apply the death and resurrection of Jesus to the lives of sinners. Sinners out there, and sinners in here. The death of Jesus, whose blood covers your sin, and His resurrection, who guarantees your resurrection to eternal life as well. Because then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We're the righteous ones, declared so by grace. Sons of the kingdom by faith, shining even now in this dark and dirty field, shining like the sun in the kingdom of our Father, not because there's not a weed to be found among us, but because we have been joined to Christ. And joined to Christ in His church, our focus isn't to yank the weeds, as if we could tell the difference, but to cultivate the field. In the kingdom of our Father, the water of holy baptism is poured into a field of weeds. And in those waters, an amazing thing happens. God turns weeds into wheat. Weeds like you. Weeds like me. Into wholesome, whole grain wheat, of which He is very proud for the sake of His Son. In this kingdom, we are given the word that grows roots strong and deep. And forgiveness as well, that restores faintly burning wicks and wheat bruised by sin. And under bread and wine, our Lord gives us Himself to strengthen and preserve us in our struggles in this world. Not that that makes the weeds go away. They will be with us as long as we are in the world. But we do have hope. Hope as we wait for the harvest, when we will be finally gathered together and taken into the kingdom of our Father. As we come to the table of our Lord this morning, we look to that future. We are given a foretaste of the feast to come, a meal which not only feeds us, but keeps our eyes focused not on the weeds, but on the Lord of the harvest yet to come. Our Father and our Savior know that we are here amongst the weeds. He knows the weeds that are in each of us. But we will not get lost among them. And the Spirit helps us too, praying in groans too deep for words, praying where our prayers fail, praying according to the good and perfect will of God. And when the harvest comes, in the end, when God sends His angels to gather His own into His kingdom, not one of His will be lost, because the one directing the harvest is the Lord of the harvest, the one who died on the cross for you, the one who baptized you, the one who absolves you, the one who gives you His very own body and blood to eat and to drink, who knows who you are, and you are His own, precious to Him. And so now, for a little while, we have to put up with weeds. And while no farmer likes weeds in his garden, Christ is willing to put up with them for a little while, for your sake, not willing to let even a little piece of His harvest be lost. Not even you. Not even your daughter, who may have wandered off into the weeds. Nor your son, who might be hiding in a briar patch somewhere. Because He loves you. And He loves them too. Died for them, He did. Declared them to be His own in the waters of holy baptism, and desires not one of them to be lost to the sower of the weeds. And so He's content to let us live for a while amongst the weeds until that great and awesome day, in the name of Jesus. Amen.